Tzahorayim tovim. Good afternoon, everybody. Baruchim abayim. Let us continue with some Musar. Last we ended off was that another reason why Baal Teshuvah has to express kini'ah, which is submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is because... Shakon. Is because the bad midot that he has in his heart bring about more and more averot. And he explains. Haga'ava, I'm on page Tetvav, Ot Kavzain. Haga'ava misabivet kama averot, umagbiret yetzer lev ha'adam alav. Ga'ava, as the Rambam says, and as all the Ba'alei Musar say, Ga'ava is the root of all bad midot. Period, hands down. Not only that, the Rambam writes in Ilchot De'ot, whereas by other midot, a person should tend to choose the Shvila Zahav, as he calls it, the middle path. There's only two midot that the Rambam says you have to go to the other extreme. What are those two midot?
Anger and...
Gav v'ka'as. They're both interrelated. Mamash! Latzada kitzoni. To the other side completely, because if you start trying to go to the middle path, it's a very dangerous slope. Shnei Emar.
Even anger for Torah is a great question.
No good. No good. Even the Gemara says, Talmid Chacham diratach, oraitau dekamaratach. If you see a Talmid Chacham get angry, it's because the Torah is... you know, really cooking inside him. That doesn't mean that it's a good thing. The Gemara says, if it happens, you should know, don't judge him. You should know that it comes from the Torah that's fire inside him. Yeah.
Wasn't there a case in the Gemara where it led to someone like ripping
Torah? Yeah. That's why the Gemara says you gotta take it easy. Rum einayim urchav lev nir reshaim chatat, says Rabbi Yonah Perush, ha-ga'ava nir harshaim. What's nir in Lashon HaKodesh? No, that's niyar. Nir is plowing. What's the plowing of the Shaim? Plowing is the initial process of growth. You want to plant anything, first you have to plow the ground. What's the plowing of the Rishaim? That's gava. That's how it starts. That's what makes all of the chataim grow. Kasher ne'emar v'ram levavecha v'shachachta. When you feel gaava, you feel entitled. And when you feel entitled, so there's ta'ava and there's ka'as. How can he speak like that to me? I'm like this. And then he gets angry. They're all, ga'ava is the root of all amidot ra'ot. V'ne'emar b'ga'avat rasha idlak ani. V'ne'emar hadoverot al tzadik atak b'ga'ava. V'ne'emar asher natanu chititam be'eretz chayim. What does that mean? Now he's going to explain. Uchmo she'osim b'nei adam nir basadeh. The first step in planting in a field and wanting to reap the fruits of your labor is that you have to sit down, not sit down, but you have to first plow the field. You can't just, what happens if you put seeds on a field without plowing? It's not going to grow. You have to make ditches in the ground, plow it, plant the seeds, and then hopefully, Bezat Hashem, it'll grow. That's exactly what Gahava does for the other midot. Ken osim arsha'im et ha-gahava nir bilvavam. Gava makes these ditches, these plows in the heart. Everything else grows as a result. The machshavot ra'ot, midot ra'ot. The Navi Hoshea explains this b'derech mashal. Many times the Navi'im gave over their messages b'derech mashal, because mashal is a very powerful tool when you want to teach. Teaching or giving musar mashal is a very, very powerful tool. Why? It's like it gets a person to use their imagination, and then you can get them in there. Once you catch a person with his imagination, and then the nimshal hits home, then it hits home much, much deeper, because it's wow. Yeah, who is the most famous Navi to give a Melech Israel Musar b'derech shel mashal?
David?
Who? Natan HaNavi gave David HaMelech Musar about Batsheva, Kivsat Arash, with the sheep. You remember? And David HaMelech, he portrayed it, he says, what would happen, you remember what was the case? He says, what would you say, HaMelech, Aduni HaMelech, your Shofet, what would you say if there was a rich man, and he had everything, and right next door there was a poor man who had mamash, nothing, only one sheep, and the rich man was making a party, and he was missing some meat, so what did he do? In the dead of night, he snuck into the poor person's home, all he had was the sheep, he stole it, he slaughtered it, and he gave the meat, and now the poor man has nothing. And he says, Aduni HaMelech, what would you say about such a case? What did David HaMelech say?
Kill him.
Yeah, ben mavetu. And then Natan HaNavi just looked at the king. Obviously, he didn't do it on his own. Hashem sent him. He looked at him, Adoni HaMelech, it's you. Yeah? And David HaMelech understood immediately. He said, "Ay." He understood the message because of the mashal that he painted it. Nachon? And he says, Hala. Now he writes, Ufarach karosh mishpat. Mishpat kind of flourishes. That's the same thing over here by the chataim of the reshaim. Uma she'amar chataat perush nir reshaim nir chataat v'cholel chataim rabim. The plowing, the ga'ava of the reshaim includes in it many sins. Kamo chataat Yehuda. It's not only a single sin. Chataat includes many chataim. O ye perusho v'chataat b'chesron vav. Which means you can read it as like vechata, just without the vav. Kmo shemesh yareach v'atam milevad ki ha'gaava gorem et ha'chataim hamida atzma chatat. Not only is gaava bad because it begets all the bad midot, gaava itself is a chatat, is itself innately a terrible sin. Not only that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates to'avat Hashem kol givah lev, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates gaavtanim. He says, "En ani vahu yecholim ladur be'olam echad." Hashem says, "It's either me or him," and Hashem ain't going nowhere. So what happens? The other guy goes. And he says, "Kmo she'ne'emar tu'avat Adonai kol givah lev." The pasuk I just told you. Uva'al gaava nimsar biyad yitzro. Ba'al gaava will always fall prey to his yetzer hara. Ki en ezer Hashem imo achare asher hu tu'avat Hashem. This is a big thing. Rabotai, listen carefully. Orchot Tzadikim says the same thing. Could be borrowed from the Sha'ari Teshuvah, I don't know. We don't know exactly who wrote the Orchot Tzadikim. It's anonymous. It's style of Rishonim, so it's very possible that he borrowed a lot of things from the Sha'ari Teshuvah. So he writes, what Rabbi Yonah says over here, why is it that the Gavtan will always fall prey to his Yetzer Hara and always do Averot? Because in order to subdue your Yetzer Hara, you need heavenly assistance. You need Siyata Dishmaya. And since Hashem hates him because he's a Gavtan, Hashem won't help him. And if Hashem doesn't help him to overcome the Yetzer Hara, he will fail. And he will fall. That's pshat. Weiter. Ve'od chayav ba'al teshuvah likana. Another reason why the Ba'al Teshuvah is expected to subjugate himself, to surrender himself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ulkayim alav li'itnahega l'derech she'amru rabotenu z'chom l'bracha, ve'heveh shefal ruach b'fnei chol adam. Be exceedingly low of spirit in front of everybody. It's very easy to be low of spirit, to be an anav, in front of people that are greater than you. Nachon? Who isn't anav in front of Gedolei Ador? Bevadai. What's the challenge? Being anav, that's what we say in Amidah. V'nafshi ke'afar lakol tihyeh. We want to be anvitanim in front of everybody, not in front of Gedolim, in front of all people. V'yasig mizeh shelo yich'as v'lo yakpid al chavero v'chol advarim asher yishma אל ייתן ליבו להעביר על מידותיו ומעבירים מזה להתכפר על אבנותיו כמו שאמרו זכרון לברכה המעביר על מידותיו מעבירינו על כל פשעיו מידה כנגד מידה רבותיי what are the advantages of being ענב בפני כל אדם what are the advantages number one you're not going to have gava because if you're ענב בפני כל אדם you're low כעס if you're not fueled by gava you're not going to be כועס either because like we said why does a person get angry Entitlement. That's exactly, if you don't feel entitled, so you don't get angry. So he did something. Okay, fine. Maybe I deserve it. If we would look at that, you know, we always get angry. This guy did this to me. He said this about me. He acted like this to me. We get angry because we feel entitled. If we didn't feel entitled, if we felt that Hashem had sent them to do this to us, that maybe we deserve it, we wouldn't get mad. Because if you feel that you deserve it, why is that a humbling thought to feel that you deserve it? Because if you deserve it, you probably deserve much more. And Hashem's being nice to you by only giving you this. You understand what I just said? If we're deserving of punishment, and we're just getting this, we know deep down the avonot that we do. And we know that we deserve much harsher from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the fact that Hashem doesn't do it is only mirov tuvo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us, and He gives us little bits and pieces of punishment here and there. Sometimes, Ali de Shaliach, many times, this guy told you this, this guy insulted you. Oh, he insulted me, he said this, do you know who I am? Yeah, who are you? Yeah, Behemet, who are you? Hashem says, yeah, Bonishma, who are you? this person, that person, they're only shlichim. Harbe shluchim min makom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has many, many different ways of getting to us. If we would think that way, there'd be no kaas, there'd be no gava, and not only that, we wouldn't be tempted. Human nature is to want to always fight back, respond, reply, reciprocate, seek revenge. Human nature, jump back. This guy tells you something. When was the last time you didn't have an urge when somebody tells you, you know, sometimes a person gets in your face and tells you something insulting? Just instinct tells you to do what?
Insult back.
Insult back, fight back, defend yourself. That's all a result of a person being gavtan. Because if a person doesn't have gava, you think he can be ma'avir al midotav. The most precious thing in the world for a Jew is to be ma'avir al midotav. The Gemara says, we always look for sgulot. Yes, sgula for this, sgula for that, which is great. When you have sgulot from Chazal, in Shas, in the Zohar and things like that, in Torah Sheba'al Peh, those you can take to the bank. Other sgulot, might work, might not, you know, worth a try sometimes, but you don't know if they're going to work. Chazal are giving avtacha. Kol ma'avir al midotav, ma'avirin al kol psha'av. What's ma'avir al midotav? So he said it. You don't have. How many stories have you heard of Gedolei Yisrael telling people who needed bracha, who needed some sort of, yeshua, that they say, wait for a situation where you are being attacked or insulted and don't answer back. Or if you see it happening, go ask for a bracha from a person like that. Those are very, very powerful moments because at that moment, there's mechilat avonot. If there's mechilat avonot, et ratzon, because you don't have. What holds us back? What causes our tefillot many times not to be answered promptly?
Klipot.
Klipot, averot, they go hand in hand. But if a person has mechilat avonot, then what happens? Makes the tefillah much easier to be accepted, makes the yeshua much closer in coming. Therefore, the route to getting all of these benefits, it's like fringe benefits from not having gava. First of all, you're healthier. A gavtan, you should know, Rabotai, a gavtan is not a physically, forget about mentally and spiritually, a gavtan is not a physically healthy person. Tell me why.
Sick in the stomach from all the lack of attention that he's feeling.
That also. It's always stressed out. Gavtan is always stressed out. Not getting enough kavod, always angry, stress. Even medically, Rabotai, scientifically, stress kills. You know that. When a person's overly stressed out, it is tremendously, it has terrible negative effects on a person's health. That's why, number one, even in Avodat Hashem doesn't require stress. Stress, by the way, comes with life, in Malasot. But a person has to do his most, you have to try your best to de-stress, detox, relax. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishtabach Shemo Berov Tuvo gave us Shabbatot, Ve'amim Tovim, Mu'adim Tovim Neisen. For what? Relax. Take it easy. Take a step back. Can you imagine Am Yisrael without a Shabbat? Without Yamim Tovim, without Mu'adim? Where would we be? Eat, drink, sleep, stress, repeat. Eat, drink, sleep, stress, repeat. Always. Think for a second. Look, Goyim don't have Shabbat. What's their life? What is the life of a Goy worth? Miskan ain't no Shabbat. Ain't no Shabbat. Asur lo nishmor Shabbat. Yeah, but he doesn't have it. Am Yisrael yishtabach shemo eze matana. What do we say on Shabbat morning in the tefillah? Yismach Moshe b'matanat chelko. Matana mamash. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a... HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Gemara says, it's borrowed from the Gemara. The Gemara says, Masichet Shabbat af Yod. Matana tova yesh li bevet genazai. Hashem came to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said, I have a great gift kept in my storage houses, Shabbat Shema. Lechem olam leisen. Go tell Am Yisrael that I'm about to give them this gift. Every Shabbat comes, I saw in some of the Hasidic works, it says, if you listen carefully right before every Shabbat, you can hear Moshe Rabbeinu going around Am Yisrael. Shabbat is coming, Hashem is giving us the matana again. You just have to stop to listen. Usually people enter Shabbatot, especially in the winter. Gam, Musar Askin. In the winter, unfortunately, sometimes Knisat HaShabbat takes a hit. You know that? People are rushing, last minute. Malasot, Shabbat is very early. You have to make sure, especially during the winter, even though Shabbat is early, nevertheless, to prepare to enter Shabbat, bimnuchat nefesh. Bimnucha. To go in calmly. To be makdim et Shabbat. Because running in, Unfortunately, people, you know, they come home from late and they run in and they're always rushing and sometimes they miss mincha. I'm not even talking about chas v'shalom, that can lead, if you're not careful, it can lead, especially in the winter, to inadvertent chilul Shabbat as well. I've seen it many times. People cut it too close when they're coming home from work, whatever, and they get stuck in traffic, boom, chilul Shabbat. To be very, very, very careful during the winter, lakdim ta Shabbat. Well, whatever it is, make sure you come to mincha 5 minutes early. Make it a few minutes early. If you prayed mincha early, a few minutes early to Kabbalat Shabbat. Don't burn the candle till the last minute. Lakdim ta Shabbat. Now, continues and he says, Veze petach tikva nichbad meod. You see what he said? Petach tikva? That's a city in Eretz Yisrael. It's learned out from it's a phrase in the Navi. Ve'aymek achor lefetach tikva. Yeah, so he says, this is what does petach tikva mean? Petach, an opening, tikva, for hope. A very, very good opening for hope is ridding your heart of ga'ava and being ma'avir al midotav. You can step on me, you can say whatever you want, it doesn't bother me. What a wonderful life. If you can go through life and what people tell you and insult you and do to you and say about you doesn't bother you, that is the most joyful kind of life that you can live. You know that? Because nothing bothers you, nothing stresses you out. V'ne'emar, it's pasuk in Echa, yiten be'afar pihu ula yesh tikva. If you put your mouth to the dust, which means you bite the dust, maybe that's going to be hope. And then the next pasuk says, yiten le'makeh ulechi yisba' becherpa. You come to somebody who wants to hit you, what do you do? Befarmayim. Right? That's a good usage?
That's good.
What that means?
Bechavud.
Yeah? You say, that's a Persian word. Huh? In Arabic means tfaddal. Yeah, go ahead. Take your best shot. Meaning what? Even if you want to hit me, hit me. You want to insult me, insult me. Akol besedem. Again, that doesn't mean a person should be a doormat, but it means that even rolling with the punches in life means... Spoke about me hitting, again, if somebody's hitting you, you should probably try to defend yourself. But the point is, it's meant metaphorically that you don't have to react to everything. Akol besedem. Ula yesh tikva. Maybe there's hope when you bite the dust, when you don't say anything. What are you saying?
Let's say I asked this question before, but how does one find a line between enough and being like
push over
yourself as a no holding yourself as like the Torah?
Meaning what?
Like if someone says something, then it's but like at the end of the day, like you're representing the Torah, so how would one like just let either let
you mean go. For Leketam Tachan?
Yeah.
Or
like I don't know. If someone says something that's not, and it's rejecting, like a Torah,
yeah. Then you have to stand up for the Torah. That's not gava.
Yeah.
Defending the Torah. Now, again, if somebody says something against the Torah that's kfira or bizayon to the Torah, whatever, then you have a chiyuv to stand up and defend it. That's not gava. That's, you know, because if you don't, chas v'shalom, it can be misconstrued as, you know, just acceptance or condoning what they say. And that's, you don't want, chas v'shalom, anybody to associate you with what's being said. That's one thing. I thought you were talking about something else. There's another Gemara that says, kol talmid chacham she'enu noqim v'notir kenachash, eno talmid chacham. Any talmid chacham that doesn't answer back and seek revenge is not a talmid chacham. Now again, even the poskim say you have to be very careful. It doesn't mean that every time a person says something against talmid chacham, he has to respond yet sparingly. Depends what's said, depends the severity. You know, because over there, when you insult a Talmid Chacham, sometimes not only are you insulting the Talmid Chacham, you're also insulting his Torah. So you have to be very, very careful. Most times, the poskim say, and I've seen this many times, huge gdolim that were insulted and mevuzeh and anything, and they just, in general, real gdolim, they just brush it off. Very, very rarely will you see a Talmid Chacham actually stand up for himself and fight back and say, Shev b'sheket, you know, taking, but you have to, it takes Chochmat HaTorah to know what the fine line between those things is. Yeah,
b'chavod. But they'll fight for someone else.
You have a die.
Someone else, like if they insult them, the drug goes away, but if they insult another, Talmid Chacham,
they're a die. Then no kemenotin, yeah. But that specific marad that I just quoted is about the Talmid Chacham himself, and even that is supposed to be used sparingly. Now, I heard one time a gadol. I actually asked him. One time a gadol was terribly insulted by somebody in public,
And not, meaning somebody insulted him. He didn't care. I asked him, I said, Chacham, lama, why don't you respond? Why don't you say something back? He says very big deal. He says, Lo kol pam shekelev noveach, tzarech le'agiv. Says, every time a dog barks in the street, you give meaning what? Barking dog. Huh? You know what I'm saying? Every time a chamon in the street, so you get all insulted. Chamon, manasot. You know what I'm saying? Let it go. If you, again, you have to sparingly also, you don't want to look at people as klavim hachamorim, chas v'shalom. But at the end of the day, if it helps you just to relax, the biggest level of Ahavat Yisrael is manasot. Hashem sent him. Hashem aman lo kalin. Hashem sent him. And Hashem, maybe he loves him more than me. Maybe he's more worthy than me, so I can't say anything. That's a huge level. It's huge, huge. That was David HaMelech. When Shimei ben Gera cursed at David HaMelech terribly, and Avishai ben Tzruya, his nephew, wanted to take off his head. You know that. And David HaMelech had to stop him. He says, where are you going? Hashem aman lo kalin. Hashem sent him to me and told him to say these curses. How can I kill him? So David HaMelech himself didn't kill him. Who did he say to kill him?
Shlomo.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't tell Shlomo to kill him, but he told Shlomo to find a roundabout way to have him killed because he didn't want him to be nitba ba'olam haba. He wanted Shlomo HaMelech to kill him so that Shimei ben Gera, who's Rosh HaSanhedrin, could come clean la'olam haba. He did a terrible avera. Shimei ben Gera was one of the chief followers of Shalom. He was one of his most loyal followers. And he did a terrible avon when he cursed at David HaMelech like that. And David HaMelech wanted to save him from Dina Shel Geinam, so he told Shlomo, he says, I promised him. Shimei ben Gera asked for forgiveness, and he asked David HaMelech to swear to him that he wouldn't kill him. And David HaMelech swore to him. So David told Shlomo on his deathbed, he says, I swore to him I can't kill him, but you, I want you to be mechaper al avonotav and find a way to kill him. Do you remember in the Navi how he killed him?
Yeah, he got the Evan to run out of Yerushalayim.
Exactly.
He told him he couldn't leave Yerushalayim.
He told him, he says he made a gzirah on him. He said, he told... Huh? It's important to learn Tanakh. Tzarech ladat. Ladat. Nevi'im rishonim, nevi'im achronim, ketuvim. That's the yisod. You see all these psukim Sha'ari Teshuvah brings down? From Nevi'im, ketuvim. If you don't learn Tanakh, maybe every day, a few minutes, just to go through Tanakh. At least once in your life to go through Tanakh, tzarech ladat. Yeah? It's very hard to understand many portions of Torah Sheba'al Peh without knowing Torah Shebichtav well first. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, for whatever reason, Torah Shebichtav is less focused on today than it should be. Now, there's reasons for that. Talmud Bavli incorporates a lot of Torah Shebichtav inside also. But in order to fully understand it, many times the Gemara will bring psukim out of context and you don't even know what it's talking about. Shimei ben Gera, Shlomo HaMelech told him, as soon as he became king, he made a gzirah on him. He says, you're a free man, but I have one thing to tell you as a king. He says, you can never leave Yerushalayim. You have to stay in Yerushalayim until the day you die. Never ever. And he told him, the day that you leave Yerushalayim, I'm going to kill you. Shalom. That's what he told him. What happened? One day, Shimei ben Gera's Evid escaped from Yerushalayim, and he went to chase him. He left him, and he went to chase him, he brought him back. And Shlomo HaMelech found out, and he killed him. That was his, Shlomo HaMelech bechokhmato knew. Can I ask you a question? How many people today would die just to move to Yerushalayim, give him an apartment over there, to learn there, and to live out the rest of your days in Yerushalayim? How many people would give everything they had to do that? I know I would. So why did Shimei ben Gera leave? You ever ask that question? Why did he leave? He knew that he was a dead man once he did that. Shlomo HaMelech understood, psychologically, if you tell a person that you have to be here and you can't leave ever, that place, as great as the place is, Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, Shlomo HaMelech turned Yerushalayim into what for Shimei ben Gera? Into a jail. Turned into prison for him. When you limit a person like that, everybody has that yearning to go to Yerushalayim because you know that you can always leave, you're a free man. But once Shlomo HaMelech told that to Shimei ben Gera, he turned it into a prison, and he couldn't, even at the expense of his own life, he knew that by leaving he would die. He's a very intelligent man. But nevertheless, he decided to just go. Hold on. So that's the end of this. Be'ezat Hashem will continue next week with Ot Kaftet on page Tetzayin. I thank you all for joining. Shabbat Shalom Borach. Shabbat Kodesh. Aleinu Shabbat Shalom.
Go ahead.